crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And as he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no roots, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please do be seated. Loving God, through the written word and the spoken word, open our eyes to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I know I'm capable of some things, and I'm probably really incapable of others. And unlike my grandfather, I have never been much of a gardener. There seems to be some kind of rampant buddleia that has followed me from vicarage to vicarage and seems to have taken root in Chesterton. So that's going to be something to tackle at the end of the summer. And every year in the springtime, I start out with good intentions. I'm going to buy seeds, I'm going to get the garden sorted out, and I'm really going to let stuff grow. And this year was, of course, like all the others, no exception. I went out and I bought the seeds, went to Wilko with a huge amount of ambition, and I've come back with Foxglove Excelsior mixed and Lobelia Colour Cascade mixed. And as you can see, they're still in the packets. Always starting off with good intentions. But in that gospel this morning, Jesus told a story about a sower and the seed. And it's set out in a series of words and pictures, images that we can probably really relate to, whether we're gardeners or not. And each of those different situations has got something different to say to us. So think of where the seed falls. The seed falls on the path, and the birds come down and eat it up. That's the new words about a new way of life in the teaching and preaching and relationship with Jesus. His words, yes, but also his example, the things he did, the kind of person that he was, and the sheer joy of being in his presence, his word and deed. And that seed is the power of God being sown into the world to set about transforming it, making it new. And the problem in that first picture is that the seed falls down on the ground, but it doesn't get any further. And it's so easy for the birds to come down and eat it up. And at the end, Jesus says to the people, "Those who have ears, let them listen," meaning this needs thinking about. It needs to be ruminated about in the mind in order for the story to penetrate our minds over and over again if we're really to get the message. That's why Sunday by Sunday we keep reading those familiar stories of Jesus, praying that they're going to take root in our hearts and in our lives. And eventually at some point the penny has got to drop and the story has really got to penetrate deep within us. And then there's the seed that falls on the shallow ground and the sun comes down and scorches it. Seeds need the sun, obviously, in order to grow and bear fruit, but the sun can be a destroyer. Quite often in church history, the image of the sun or of heat has been used as a symbol or a sign of persecution. Maybe that means that sometimes the teaching of Jesus hasn't always taken root deeply into our lives. And so when trouble comes, when the heat is on, or the proverbial hits the fan, we might wither and die. Go back through centuries of church history, and you will always find stories of people who have been persecuted for their faith. And sometimes these people are just ordinary folk, people just like you and I, but who dared to stand up and profess their faith in Jesus, and in doing so were persecuted for what they dared to believe. And even when the heat was on, when they were attacked or brutally tortured just because they loved Jesus and were prepared to express that faith, these people were also prepared to die rather than to betray Jesus. There was once a young girl called Catherine who was tortured on a wheel with spikes for daring to profess a faith in Jesus. And the firework, the Catherine wheel, ended up being named after her. And there's a story of Roman soldiers. There were 39 of them. And they were made to undress and in the depths of winter stand on a freezing pond. And out of their reach on the shoreline, there were baths of warm water for each of them. And if they betrayed Jesus, they could have a warm bath and live. And 39 died where they stood because they weren't prepared to give up on their faith in Jesus. And so inspiring were they that the story says that one of the other Roman guards undressed and died with them. But there are also people in our own time and in our recent history who have also suffered persecution for their faith. There are examples of people in Eastern Europe who've dared to question communism, and they end up suffering so many years in solitary confinement in prison rather than betray their faith. So many people who have stood firm when they feel persecuted and under pressure. And they can be an inspiration to us and to so many people worldwide as the church grows. And then this final picture is the seed that falls down among the thorns. And maybe that's anxiety. The story talks about the worries and the cares of the world. They get in the way sometimes. All the stuff that we might think is too trivial sometimes can just overwhelm and overpower our lives, so that the simple message that Jesus is giving us fails to get through. We're often anxious, and quite often we're anxious about the things we have and the things we don't have. Quite often, especially today, it's quite easy to get quite anxious about our financial resources. But we also worry about so many different things. We worry about our children and their future. We worry about our jobs. As we start to get older, we start to worry about our health. We start to worry about the situations around the world, and so on and so on. And eventually, like the thorns, these worries can just spring up, grow in places we don't always expect them to, and these thorns then go on to choke that message that comes from God. In the end, the worries take over to such an extent that there's no place for God. But God really understands. God really cares deeply for all of us. God can even count the hair on our heads. St. Paul urges us to cast all our worries onto God, simply because God cares for each one of us. But sometimes that's a really hard thing to do, just casting our worries on what can seem to be unknown or unhearing. Quite often, it's really hard to let go of that burden. But sometimes when we let go of the burdens and we allow the Word of God to take root in our hearts, quite unexpected things can spring up from that. I did a parish placement in South Africa a few years ago while I was training for ministry. And one of the clergy that I was following about gave me a story. He said there were two people who were haggling over the price of a local farm that was up for sale. The owner wanted a lot more money for the farm than the prospective buyers were prepared to give. They haggled and haggled and haggled day and night, worrying over the cost of this farm. And in the end, the hagglers wouldn't give way and the owner wouldn't give way. And so the farm ended up just going unsold. But what those two people didn't know while they were haggling and trying to buy the farm, that under the farm, under their feet, were the richest deposits of gold in all the world. There was something that was far more valuable under their feet than a broken down farm, but it never occurred to those two people trying to buy the land to really look for it. And the same thing happens with God and the kingdom of God. The message is found by those who really choose to hear it, take it into their hearts, and on the words of that message, go out and search for God, sometimes in the places where we don't always expect treasures to be found. And then we've got the image of the good soil, the amazing harvest that it produces. And that last picture is reassuring. It reveals that with the coming of Jesus, the seeds of God's kingdom have not only been planted, but they've been watered, they've been nurtured, and they've grown into a harvest, a wonderful harvest that actually goes beyond our wildest dreams or anything we can picture. So in spite of everything, the kingdom of God will come. We don't know how, we don't know when, but there will be that time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are loads of ways in which the parable of the seed could be interpreted, but I hope it's a parable of encouragement for all of God's people. In spite of many disappointments, many setbacks in doing the word and work of God through God's church in the world, there is going to be reward at the end of it. There is going to be a harvest to be gathered in. But it's also a reminder to all of us who hear the good news that we have got to take the message of what God is saying to us deeply into our hearts. When we receive that message, our response is one of thanksgiving, but our response should also be one of commitment. A commitment to take the words of that message to heart, but also a commitment to work and live them out. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It doesn't matter what variety or type it is. What we have got to do is dare to be bold, actually open the packet, be daring enough to receive the seed. Let the word of God take root in our hearts, because that seed is always going to bear amazing fruit in the people that God sets it, as long as they allow that seed to bear fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.